In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. A happy feast day to everybody on this first of the 12 great feasts in our liturgical year. Our liturgical year begins with a great feast to Our Lady, her Nativity, and our liturgical year ends with a great feast to Our Lady, the Dormition. It says something to us, and perhaps tonight, hopefully, in the homily, I can give a little bit more of a reason why. On September 8th, you may recall the Troparion. We don't sing it tonight because it's a vesperal liturgy, but we'll be singing it tonight and tomorrow if you're doing the liturgy of the church. The church sings in that Troparion for this feast day, "Your Nativity, O Mother of God, heralded you to the whole universe." Why would the birth of a baby girl sometime around the year 18 BC announce a great joy to the entire universe? Zechariah, the father of the holy forerunner, John the Baptist, perhaps gives us the reason why when he says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, the world in which Holy Mary was born was found itself, quote, "sitting in darkness and the shadow of death," end of quote. Chapter 1, verse 79. The world was sitting in darkness and the shadow of death. The world into which Holy Mary was born, into which all of the human race was born a world adrift. It was adrift. And it found itself in the grip of the power of death itself. The power of death itself. And so while in life, even before the birth of the Theotokos, before the coming of Christ, yes, there are moments of joy, like at marriages in the ancient world, there were births, there were pilgrimages to the holy shrines, there were religious feasts, whether they were Jewish or pagan. Nevertheless, even though life was punctuated with these certain moments of joy, everything was moving toward sickness and death. Everything. Perhaps this analogy would capture for us what was really going on when the Theotokos was born, or before she was born. Maybe we could look at that famous ship, the fabled ship, the RMS Titanic, floating in the sea, and it hit an iceberg and it began to sink. It was heading into the depth of the oceans, into death. That's about what the world was like when Adam and Eve sinned. It hit an iceberg and the world, all the humanity, all the universe in a way was sinking in death. But 705 people got into these lifeboats, and they were able to escape, yes, the sinking Titanic, and yet, these 705 people were floating in the midst of darkness, in the ice-cold Atlantic, waiting for a rescue that they really didn't know would happen. As we know, this was a time before there was any of the kind of technology we have to reach and know people. It was before satellites were around, fast boats with radars. So here you have these 705 people floating in lifeboats, and they in the darkness, and they probably were thinking they're going to die. It was bitter cold, and they're in this ice-cold water. Of course, we know another ship came by to rescue them. You can only imagine the kind of joy they had when this ship did finally come by to rescue them. And that, my friends, my brothers and sisters, would be an apt analogy to what the world was like before the birth of the Theotokos. The world was waiting, and particularly Jewish people had all these prophecies. They were in the lifeboats, and they're waiting to wonder, is anything going to happen? Is anything going to come along to save us from the grip, from the captivity of death itself? And the Nativity of the Theotokos is the proclamation to the entire, what is our church? The entire universe, just not to people. It was an announcement to the entire universe, because all the universe has been affected by the sin of Adam and Eve. All the universe came to know death because of Adam and Eve. And on September 8th, with the nativity of the Theotokos, a rescue ship has come by our way. Soon enough after this birth on September 8th, the angel Gabriel was going to appear to the Holy Virgin, and the Holy Virgin was going to conceive and give birth to, yes, we know, the Messiah. And it's that Messiah who would end the human race's captivity to sin and death. In the Mother of God, in the Theotokos, we find the whole of sacred history reaching its apex, reaching its goal. The longing of Israel's history, the whole reason why Israel is created, the whole reason why God calls a chosen people, was for this very event. The incarnation of God in the person of the Theotokos. When God called Abraham out of Mesopotamia and said, go to what we know as Palestine, the reason was the incarnation. When God raised up the various patriarchs, Isaac and Jacob, and the 12 sons of Israel, Jacob himself, the goal was the incarnation. When God caused the Israelite people, the Hebrew people, to sojourn in Egypt, to go into Egypt, and then to be liberated from Egypt, to go back to Palestine, the goal was the incarnation. When God showed all his wonders to the people in the desert, as they traversed across the desert, the goal was the incarnation. When God gave to Israel the land of Palestine itself, the land flowing milk and honey, and then raised up for them judges, and then raised up for them kings, the goal was the incarnation. All that God endured with his people, all the forbearance he had with them, for they disobeyed him mightily and often, the goal was the event of the incarnation. All of that history in the Old Testament was to make possible the birth of a young Jewish woman in Nazareth. And in that woman, whose birthday we celebrate today, we remember a woman who offered to God her heart, her body, her life, her soul, her love. And she did that when she proclaimed the words, quote, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word." At that offering of her own entire self to God, God swept down upon her with the Holy Spirit, overshadowed the Theotokos, and the human race's long captivity was coming to an end. In the gospel assigned to this great feast, Jesus the Christ proclaimed that it is not by biology, by blood, by inheritance, that one is blessed by God. No, the Lord said it is the one who hears the word of God and keeps it. God spoke his word to Adam and Eve, and they didn't keep it. Countless times God spoke his word to the Israelite people, all through the Old Testament, and they repeatedly failed to keep it, and worse, forgot or ignored it. The Theotokos, however, she received the word, and she heeded that word completely and wholeheartedly. What is this word? That word is the call to you and me to look away from this present life and to find our meaning and our life in the kingdom of God. This word calls you and me from living a life of mediocrity and to follow the gospel wholeheartedly. This word calls you and me to cease living by merely the body and to become children of the kingdom. This word calls you and me from being and living ordinary lives as ordinary people and to begin to live an extraordinary life and become an extraordinary people by following our Lord on the road of selfless love. A journey that ends in the eternal communion of life and love. That was the original destiny of all the human race. And Mary of Nazareth is the first one to fulfill and complete that destiny. Yes, once we sat in darkness and the shadow of death, but with the nativity of the Theotokos, we now see in this feast the approaching light himself, a rescue. And a little girl born of two parents, Joachim and Anne.